five, four, three, two, one. Happy New Year! Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm here with my good friend and yours, Ms. Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the new year, baby.
Happy New Year.
I'm fresh. I'm ready to go.
This year, this is your fucking year.
This is my fucking year.
No debt, no health
this
scares
is my
this
last year.
Year
in my 30s, baby.
Uh-oh. I got to replace you with a podcast.
Switch me out for a younger model.
How do you feel about that?
I feel good about it. I feel ready for 40. I feel ready.
Yeah. My back and knees are already there.
I mean, I've been 40 medically for a while. I think I'm 60 medically.
If my Spotify Wrapped is to believe, I'm 75.
Well, yeah, I'm 65.
Oh, I got 10 years on you.
Oh my God. Your brother was 6'7". Terrible.
75.
I hope we're not bringing that into the new year.
Came with me hard. 6'7".
Yeah.
Here's the thing about 6'7".
I think he's dead already.
Here's the thing about all things like that. If older people get mad at it, it keeps it alive and it makes them want to do it, especially something like 6'7", because it has no meaning.
It has no meaning, yeah.
The meaning is that it pisses us off.
Yeah. My 7-year-old is over it. My 5-year-old, absolutely obsessed with it.
Really?
If that tells you anything.
Yeah.
Going lower and lower.
Oh my God. No, I was 75. My number one song from this year, Think by Aretha Franklin.
Beautiful.
Number one album, K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, snap. My number one artist, John Williams.
Fucking nerd. John Williams was your number one artist.
Yeah, that's right.
Why?
Because
why?
The Imperial March was my number two or number three song.
Incredible.
Which is because of my children, because of Peter specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd put that on all day.
Yeah.
And then my number one album was Hamilton because of Henry.
Boy, you were white.
it's a white people. Well, Hamilton's not white. You know, I mean, the man was, but the show isn't.
Okay. but never mind. Oh, so let me tell you my point of view. 40's great. You know, I keep getting better at this thing called life. Maybe I was really shitty at it before, and that's the key. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was, but like, I don't know. I have great nostalgia for things, obviously, like mm-hmm. being a little kid and fucking last week we were talking about wanting to live in a Christmas tree. But like, I keep getting better at this thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? My 30s were so much better than my 20s.
Yeah.
And so far my 40s have been better than my 30s. I'm only 42. But I don't know. I also am getting healthier.
I wouldn't do my 20s over ever.
I'm taking better care of myself.
Yes.
Whereas, I mean, my 20s, I was younger, had a younger body, so I had a better constitution. But like, you know, I was always bloated and drunk and...
Yeah.
I smoked cigarettes. You and I both smoked cigarettes when we were younger.
That's right. We did a lot of stuff we shouldn't have done when we were younger.
Oh, God. Like, I mean, I don't...
Youth is wasted on the young. I should have been taking care of my body all through my 20s, but I was not.
But I think about that now. Yeah. When I see like someone in their 70s, it's like, oh, I wish I could walk. I'm like, I'm putting in that work now.
Stretching. Give that stretch.
Absolutely. So, well, since it's New Year's, we're going to talk about stuff we're looking forward to in 2026. Yeah. But before we get into that, do you resolve or you're a resolver or a not resolver?
I'm a not resolver.
Good for you.
I feel like you set yourself up to fail.
Yes.
And I think it's a way to perpetuate self-loathing versus self-care.
You're going into the new year with the wrong energy.
Right. Agreed. You are...
You're not a piece of coal that mm-mm. needs to be pressured mm-mm. into a diamond.
I agree. Because I honestly feel like it's going into the new year with a very negative headspace.
Very negative.
Where you're like, I have to change everything about myself.
Yeah.
And I like myself.
Exactly.
But I just want to keep myself on this planet for
alive, yeah.
for a while, right? So that's the goal.
Yeah. You know, like I work out regularly, no brag. And anybody who does regularly work out knows that going to the gym in January is a fucking nightmare because you've
nightmare.
Got the resolvers.
It's packed.
And you know, and I'm not Yes.
Do so I got a walking pad from my basement.
Good for you. Do I get annoyed when I can't move around the gym because there are resolvers everywhere? Yes. But in general, I'm like, good for you. Like, I feel for them.
I hope it sticks.
But it often doesn't because it's the wrong mindset.
Mm-hmm. And it's the worst month to resolve anything.
I used to resolve to lose weight every fucking year.
Every single year.
I also, I think, spent my first 20 years of life just only thinking about losing weight. Mm. Like, now I'm trying to, I'm currently trying to lose weight so I snore less and I don't choke in my sleep. But it's not the number one thing in my mind. Mm. I'm also not doing anything unhealthy to do it. I'm just trying to do lifestyle things. Yeah. I really don't diet.
Typically, that's you'll get longer term success.
Yeah.
When you do crazy things, you lose it fast and you gain it right back.
Right. It's nonsense. I have, in the last couple of years, turned to fun resolving.
Oh, that's fun. I like that.
Like, I was thinking
more, like, one of my resolutions every year is like more dates with Bill.
That's sweet. Me too, the exact same one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
More dates with Bill.
More dates with Bill. That's exactly what I mean.
Well, if you're going on more dates with him, then I won't be able to go on dates.
Well, there's 7 nights a week. So, you know.
No, but like, it's very easy, specifically, you know, it's very, very easy to just be in a parenting headspace,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
And you're more like coworkers and you're like two ships passing. You're doing different things. You're taking care of different kids. You're doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And every time we have an event where we have to go to like a wedding or something together and we actually get to spend time together and our children aren't there, I'm like, oh my God, I really like you.
Yeah, I enjoy.
I'd love to hang out with you more if you got time. I'd love to take you on a date.
That's sweet. You know, recently, I want to make sure this sounds sweet because it is. Last night I was going to sleep. I was thinking about Jen and I was like, I have a crush on her.
Aww.
And I think you could be in love with somebody forever, but you go in and out of a crush on them.
Yeah.
And lately, I have a real crush on
Jen. That's really sweet.
Yeah. I'm like, you. I got a real crush on you.
I love that. Peter will tell me sometimes, he'll be like, Daddy has a crush on you. And he'll be like, no, shut up.
Stop. Don't look. Your crush is looking at you. Don't look. That's so sweet. No. I resolved to only watch 4 movies a week.
Is that for coming down?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Some people, that would be an achievement.
That would be for me.
That would be your meeting it.
I'd be like, 4 movies a year. I did it.
I'm like, let's cut it down. Because I want to, because this is more of a resolution. I want to read more. Because I have been reading more.
It
feels so good.
Wow. It feels so good.
It feels so good. First of all, it feels good to not touch my fucking phone. I hate my fucking phone. So reading feels good. Mm. And then, like, it's just meditative. It's so good. It's just so much better than anything else you could do in terms of leisure. So I'm like, I'll read more, but I love the fucking movies. So I'm like, okay, 4 movies a week.
That's it. Put the cap on it.
I'm cutting down.
If you met your quota, you got to read the book.
I'm cutting down. Yeah.
Well, okay. I should say that is not true about resolutions, because every year I do have a reading resolution.
Yeah.
And I never meet it.
Do you do Goodreads or do you just do it yourself in your head?
I don't do Goodreads. No, because I don't like social media and I do find it to be like another form of social media.
Well, it's good
because
no one's on Goodreads. So it's just 42-year-olds.
So I don't like it though, because then I think it does become sort of like an aura ring of reading where you are like tracking your metric. I don't like that. It stresses me out.
I get that, but I don't do that. Okay. I just like the tracking of it.
Okay.
But also I would never join Letterboxd.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I know people that are super into that.
Into Letterboxd, yeah.
No.
I listen, you got to know yourself and know how you're going to utilize it. And I know for me, it would just stress me out. I do have a Goodreads account that I just don't use.
Mm-hmm.
But I get their emails for like books that are coming out this month.
I'm not on social media really at all. Do you have fake accounts? No,
I don't have any finsters.
So when you're online, what do you look at?
I look at everything.
Do you have TikTok?
No. I'm an extremely online person who
doing
is not
what?
On social media.
So what are you doing? Looking at like GeoCities sites?
I'm on, you know, what is it? Club Penguin?
Yeah.
I'm on Club Penguin all day and night.
Cool.
No, I'm reading articles. Like, I'm on Variety. I'm on EW. I'm on the news. I'm on YouTube. A lot on YouTube. And YouTube is like long form TikTok, right?
So yes, it's just essays and shit like that. No, I'm on YouTube
I'm on YouTube more than anything else.
Wow.
And
okay.
It's my favorite TV show. It's YouTube.
That's
basically
interesting.
It's like the people I follow. So
I've started watching YouTube on my TV
and
that's better. It actually feels better.
It feels better.
Yeah.
At that point, it does feel like you're watching a show. And it's horrible for your eyes.
Yeah.
I hate the phone.
I know.
This was not a big reading year for me though. I was sad to say. I looked at my reading this year and I was like, God, I didn't even read anything. Like, what is this? I went through a 3-month period where I didn't even pick up a book and I was like, I had no interest in it. So what happened? I love to read.
Yeah, I know. It's
I had a slow season this year. It was like a low season.
You know,
of reading.
I think it's what's happening in your life.
Mm.
It's your mindset. It's you might just have been a bad book can kill
a trajectory. 100%.
And a good book could be.
I
like,
have a
yeah,
book sitting
we're
on my
it.
Nightstand right
it.
Now. I'm like 80 pages in. I'm like, I don't want.
I just read a couple good books in a row, so I feel very bookish.
Okay,
but I'm now reading a book that my boss told me about, and I kind of like it, but it's self-helpy, I don't mind self-help.
I'm not a fan
because
of those.
I think there's value in self-help.
Yeah.
If you're not a rube who, like, if you could just read and go, oh, there's some interesting ideas
some
in this.
We can take from this, right?
Yeah. I mean, you do have to get over the absolutely fake, made-up anecdotes that are just lousy in those things. No one in self-help books say, I'm a self-help book writer and I worked hard to find an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's always divine. It's always, I woke up one day and I thought, how about this? And it's like, no, you didn't.
No.
Stop lying to me.
I was like, as I was cutting my
this
cucumber,
is your job.
Yeah.
This is your job. Also, like, this is your third self-help book. So you don't keep getting God, like,
right.
You're thinking about
things. You're
working
at it.
But let's see, what did I read? I've been reading these little, I talked last week about the little ghost stories.
Yeah, those are fun.
And those get the numbers. Those inflate
that
the numbers because they're little
right,
short stories
comics,
that are their own
I'm
books.
Like, and I added another one.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I read 300 books this year.
I read 53 books this month. That's crazy.
But then I read the Scream book, your favorite scary movie.
Oh, okay, yeah,
it
yeah.
It chronicles the making of Screams now, 1 through 7.
Is that like those oral histories? That they
yes.
Oh, I love those.
Yes. No, it's really good. And I thought I knew a lot. And no, I learned a lot. And it's also great that it's...
Nothing feels better than thinking you know a lot about a subject and then there's more to learn.
Well, it's good that it was written now because no one has any problem talking shit about the Weinsteins.
Yeah.
And they really are the villains of the story. Mm. They were constantly giving trouble to like Wes Craven and they just suck.
Yeah.
And then before that, I read a great book by this... And I love a funny essayist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my Goodreads. I read this book called Pure Innocent Fun Essays by Ira Madison III. Mm-hmm. Ira Madison III is an African American queer man who looks at pop culture through that lens and also writes about himself. He writes about being young and being into like, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
But then like it'll get into criticism because he'll veer off into like talking about it. Here's an essay about Jesse Camp. Remember Jesse Camp? I Want to Be a VJ.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, like,
the first winner of the VJ.
Yeah, like there's some really interesting shit. And it was just a really fun book. I'm not an audiobook person, but...
Do you count them?
I do.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm not an audiobook person
typically
because I don't think I have the concentration, but when me and Jen went up to the Catskills over Thanksgiving weekend, we listened to I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
And
Did she read it?
Yes.
Okay.
And I just knew she was the girl from iCarly, but I never watched. I know nothing of her work.
Right. That was like past our time.
But her mom was a real piece of shit.
Turns out.
Like real, like... All sorts of abuse. So it was just a fascinating book. And like driving from Staten Island to the Catskills was like perfect. By the time we got home again, we were done.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was perfect book length. So yeah. So any you going to read more? You going to date Bill more?
I'd love to date Bill more.
What do you do when the kids go to bed at night? Or you just...
We fall asleep.
Oh, fall asleep immediately.
Fall asleep immediately.
Yeah.
Well, because Bill gets up at 4. And the kids, as Henry so astutely told you earlier today, he said, our bedtime's at 8:30, but we don't go to sleep till 9. And it's like, it's true. It's just getting them into the bed.
He's like, 8:30 is mom's first offer.
Yeah. But, yeah. I gave her back a 9:15. We settle on a 9.
Yeah.
No, I have to get them up there at least an hour before to even make it into the bed at 8:30.
To get there,
They get this insane burst of energy.
When they get in bed... Do they sleep?
No.
No.
Henry does. Henry falls asleep pretty quickly. Peter is awake. He's up. He's
looking
a night owl.
He's doing
stuff. He's all, you know, he's up. He's wired.
Yeah.
And Bill gets up super early. So by 9 p.m., he is like, I'm dead. I'm
done.
And I understand.
That's why Jen gets up at like 5:45.
Yeah.
if I suggest anything past 7:30, she's like, at night?
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm more of the night owl, but I guess that was sort of a resolution last year where I was like, I need to get to sleep earlier. Like, I can't function on this much sleep.
That's a good resolution.
I have to be asleep. And it truly is. They say the best thing for insomniacs is just go to sleep the same time every night, and your body will just get used to it. And mine has. I'm tired right now. So it's a good thing. So we just go to sleep. We don't even watch a show. And I told him, I was like, I miss you. Aww. I miss hanging out. But
you spent all your time with Mike.
You spent all your time with Mike. Going on dates.
I'll be like, you want to see that movie? He's like, I already saw it with Mike.
I saw it with Mike already. I'm sorry. But yeah, no, he's, we feel the same way. We have so many things we want to watch together.
Of course.
And I'm like, we got to stay up. We got to try. We got to give it the old college try. I'm like, get these kids to sleep early. We bring them up at 6:30.
These motherfuckers.
Put him to sleep. Give him some NyQuil.
Allegedly. Okay. For humor.
For jokes. For fun.
All right. So we don't do, this is a very, I said to you, this is a very like typical podcast thing, but we don't do this often. But I feel like it's a good time to do it, because it is, we have fully bounced back 5 years later from COVID.
Yeah.
I feel like
we never processed it as a society.
No, we haven't.
And we never will.
We're talking about our top 10. We have 5 each plus a bunch of bullshit we're going to sneak in.
Oh yeah.
Things we're looking forward to in 2026. But before that, let me say this has been an incredible year for sci-fi fantasy genre stuff. Mm-hmm. Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Superman. Mm-hmm. K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, beautiful.
What are, I'm forgetting other things. Predator, the new Predator movie.
Okay, yes.
There was so much good shit stuff this year. Out. There was an Alien TV show.
Great horror that came out this
year.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, really
incredible
great.
Horror. It's been such a good year for genre stuff. I mean, just Superman. I don't know, you haven't seen it yet. Superman was so fun. Superman and Frankenstein alone is like, thank you. This is what I need.
I know. And two such iconic, and I love classic it more than other characters, people. Right? Yeah. I know.
People are sort of like lukewarm on Frankenstein. I think Frankenstein was amazing.
It's funny to hear that, because everyone I personally know who has seen it absolutely loved it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, first of all,
is it long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't. First, people talk about, people are fools if they talk about honest adaptations. Mm-hmm. You can't adapt Frankenstein. It's a epistolary novel. Mm-hmm. It's full of these narrative ellipses. Mm-hmm. They don't even say how the monster is made. If you're to make an adaptation of Frankenstein, you have to fill in gaps.
He specifically writes that he doesn't want to tell anyone how it's made because he doesn't want anyone repeating
right,
it.
Right. Yeah. There's so many gaps that you have to fill in. But to compare again, Superman and Frankenstein, in both films, the directors picked and chose things from their favorite adaptations to put in theirs. And there are things in Frankenstein that are clearly from the James Whale version, and claims from, you know, the look of it is from an illustrated version from the 70s. Like, and same thing with Superman. Like, you know, it's a sort of like amalgam of their favorite things. And I thought both movies are incredible. Last year was a good year, and this next year is going to be a good year.
It's going to be a great year.
So I have 5 things. I don't think I have movie, TV show.
It's mostly
not
movies.
A single book. As much as I'm a reader, I'm not.
I never
I'm
know
not a
what's
reader
coming
enough.
Out.
Yeah,
I have plenty of books from years ago that I have to read.
Yeah, I'm not such a good reader that I'm like, oh, this is coming
this
out.
Is coming out. Well, okay.
Unless it's a sequel to a book I've read.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if I'm doing like the Fourth Wing series.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have a book on.
Here
the
comes the Fifth Wing.
This.
Here it comes.
Right, here it comes. It's finally coming. Here it comes. You know, the other thing I like that when you suggested this is it's not our recap of the year, like our favorite things that we've seen already.
That's what we're looking forward to.
We're looking ahead, baby. That's all in the past.
Yeah, let's look ahead. There's so much stuff.
Let's do it.
Let's go from the thing we're least excited to, although we know each other's most, I think. I told you before what my most is, I think.
Okay. Yes, I think so.
And I think you told me yours, but that's fine.
No. I don't think it's my number one. No.
You go first.
All right. Are we doing our like real list or the random stuff?
All right. So I call them honorable mentions. There are things that I'm like into seeing, but some of them like I'm not really thrilled about. One of them I didn't know until I was doing this list. I looked it up. I was like, oh shit, that's coming out.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I had no idea. So I was like, yeah, now I'm into it, but I wasn't, chomping at the bit for it.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start with the earliest in the year.
Yeah.
And this is like one of the ones I'm really looking forward to.
Okay, that's a good way to put it.
I also have one that's
we could do chronological. You want to do chronological?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is okay. Then I have some like bullshit one that I could throw in that's much earlier than that. But
okay, I have to look at one of these is coming out though.
All right. Here's something I'm looking forward to. It's not on my like main list. I'm looking forward to Bad Bunny performing at the Super Bowl.
Nice.
And being you know, pissing off conservatives.
Yes.
Like, that's not even English. What are you talking about?
Fuck off.
No, Bad Bunny is performing at the Super Bowl. I think it's great. I love Benito. I think he's has some of the most... It's funny because he's not performing his comedy. He's performing his music. But I think he has some of the most interesting comedic timing of anyone I've ever seen. Whenever he's on SNL, he has... truly unique comic timing, and he does have comic timing. Like he's actually quite talented at it. But I encourage you to go see some of his like some of the sketches that he does, because he has such...
I saw the K-pop Demon Hunter sketch.
That's pretty funny. But his Shrek one is his comic timing is so weird.
He's in the new Happy Gilmore movie, right?
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's good in that.
Yeah, he's such an odd duck. And his music is great. His new album is really good. And he's got this little frog. I think it's a coquito. It's like this little Puerto Rican frog that's sort of it's like fun. Part of like their iconography. And I think it's part of their folklore. But he's got this little frog who like takes pictures. And that's his like little guy. Like when you put his songs on Spotify, it's like a claymation frog.
That's awesome.
It's very cute. So I'm excited to see what he's got for us at the Super Bowl.
That's cool. When's the last time you really enjoyed a Super Bowl halftime show?
Rihanna came to mind right away. Now. I mean, Kendrick Lamar was a big deal last year, but I'm not a super big Kendrick Lamar fan. So for me, it was like, oh, cool. But I love Rihanna's music.
I liked Beyonce because it was so political.
It was very political. Yeah. So much. Yeah. She's doing like the Black Panther. Yeah. So, yeah. That was fun. And then Coldplay showed up for some reason. Get out of there.
That's really cool.
That's a fun one. The next in the year is Wuthering Heights.
Oh, Wuthering Heights.
Speaking of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
February 13th is a Valentine's Day release.
Oh, you sure you've read the book?
I've read the book.
I have not.
This is not that. This ain't your mama's Wuthering Heights. It's so funny because everyone I know who's like a fan of, I was going to say the Emily Dickinson, it's not Emily Dickinson, it's the Bronte novel, is like, I love the novel.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the novel. I am seated. I am going to be there.
Like, why is it not? What is it doing different?
Okay. So she was actually quite a religious person.
Oh, okay.
And wanted to show what giving into passion would do to you as a person if you surrendered yourself to sort of like an ungodly passion, right? And it would destroy you. It would destroy your life. And so by the end of the novel, spoiler, both characters are like utterly destroyed. And their lives are completely ruined, essentially, by their love for each other. Their forbidden love for each other.
Yeah.
What ends up happening over the centuries is that it's been corrupted into a story that's like a bodice ripping, like, oh my god, they can't stay away from each other. Okay. They have such a passion for each other, because passion was really bad at the time that she's writing.
Yeah.
And passion is like, ooh, it's passionate now. We love it.
Yeah, okay, so I see what you mean.
So people reading it sort of muddled the message. She's rolling in her grave right now. Basically like, ooh, they're so hot. Like they love each other. It's hot.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is, right?
Of course, yeah.
And so who is it? Who's the director? Promising Young Woman. What's Emerald Fennell? Is that?
Let me look it up.
Name? She's got an odd name.
Look it up real time. Emerald Fennell.
Emerald Fennell. So
you know, Joe Biden let Fennell into this country, and it really tore us apart.
Oh my god.
That's why Jacob Elordi. That Jacob he's Heathcliff. Elordi. That's why you said Frankenstein. I was like, what are you talking about? Because they're both classic books.
Yes. And
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. And they're supposed to be really young, and he is a young person. She's older.
She's older.
She's not young anymore.
She's still gorgeous. The most beautiful person alive.
Stunning. But it's very anachronistic. Like, she comes in wearing like a patent leather dress at one point.
Love it.
Stunning.
Do it.
I'm here for the fashion. I'm here for the soundtrack. And it's a completely original soundtrack by Charlie XCX. I cannot wait. I've already heard some tracks. Sounds so good.
Emerald Fennell played Midge in the Barbie movie.
Yes, she did.
Incredible.
She did.
Oh, she wrote Saltburn.
She did. She directed Saltburn. She directed Promising Young Woman.
Mm. I haven't seen Saltburn. I love Jacob Elordi's in
Saltburn also. But there's like the trailer is just a horny mess. It's everyone's so horny. They're licking the walls because like she's on one side of the wall, he's on the other, and he's like licking the wall. They're gooning nonstop. It's a nonstop goon fest.
Oh, I'm loving it.
And everyone's like, I don't know what the hell this is because this is not Wuthering Heights, but I will sit here and I will watch
good.
It.
Good.
And I'll be stuck to my seat.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Do you think Jacob Elordi is very attractive?
You know, I had this conversation with your brother. I think empirically he is attractive. Like, sure. I'm not going to say
no. He's got the right, his face is constructed.
But I actually think I'm going to do this to you. Physically, so that you could see what I mean, but I'm gonna have to describe it for the podcast because it's an audio medium. But I feel like someone went, like, took a picture of his face and went like that to his face,
scrunched it in,
like made his features, like minimized his features, like it's on his iPhone. Face.
Yeah,
yeah. So like his features are too small for his face.
Okay,
I feel like they're too tiny for his face. I see. Like they're right in the center of his face.
Let me see what you mean.
And he's got too much face for what he has. I don't know. That's what I see. And he's a big fella. He's a big Australian guy.
Yeah.
You know, hey, listen, I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers.
Well, of course.
But he's not my favorite. You know, he doesn't have a chokehold on me like some of the other movie marquee gentlemen.
He is a hot Frankenstein, mm-hmm. which I don't know we needed, but we did.
We needed hot Frankenstein.
We did.
Some would argue. Well, he's because been hot all along.
You realize he needs to be hot when... The Listen. Tension between Elizabeth and him is palpable.
Listen, I've seen the Beetlejuice's rock and roll review, or what is it, the stage show?
He's
not wearing a shirt in that.
No, he's not. That's incredible. All right, so I'll start with one that doesn't have a date yet.
Okay.
Star Wars Visions presents The Ninth Jedi, which is a series, a whole animated series based on... The Ninth Jedi, which there have been two Ninth Jedi shorts now in Star Wars Visions. We did episodes on it.
Yeah.
Star Wars Visions is an animated anthology show.
And then we have to do this most recent one.
Yes, we do. We still do. And the Ninth Jedi, the first one was better than the second one. The second one is still good. It's like about a girl whose father was a lightsaber maker. What's cool is it's in its own remixed Star Wars continuity. Mm. It like has all the elements of Star Wars, but it's not in our timeline at all. Or not in our timeline. I mean, not in the timeline of like the Star Wars we know.
Yeah.
And the first one's really good, like twist ending where like they're all going to a meeting and they think it's Jedi's, but they're all Sith.
Yeah.
And there's a big fight, and she's like this very plucky like protagonist. The new one that was in the latest season is one where she like meets this little robot.
Yeah, she gets ejected from the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
she meets this absolutely adorable
robot. But I think that one was a backdoor pilot. Like, I think the series is going to continue from there.
It felt like it.
It was one of my favorite narratively. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that it's getting the full series treatment. And, you know, I don't know how many years ago now, but we did an episode on the benefits and deficits of canon and taking canon very seriously or not, and I'm glad that this is in its own canon. And why not? Star Wars is its own idea, you know, lightsabers and the Empire and shit. Like, you don't like, you need, that's it. Like, I don't need to know, is it before the Death Star or after this? Like, do your own thing. To me, that's exciting. I don't know.
Yeah, I think when you explore the possibilities of Star Wars, it's so much richer than how limiting.
Yes, exactly.
The Skywalker saga.
Yes,
and exactly. I love the Skywalker saga, but we could tell other stories.
Right, yeah. Just there are good guys, bad guys, and they, you know, that's it. You got it. So I have no idea when that's coming out. It's supposed to come out in 2026. I'm sure it will. I'm guessing later because it would have had a date if it were sooner.
Yeah.
But no date as of yet. But yeah, I'm looking. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to what I was about to say. What's next for you? Well, when does Wuthering Heights come out? Did you say?
February 13th.
February 13th.
But I actually have a movie that comes out the week before.
Whoa.
And it's another horny movie. February is for the horn dogs.
It's
horn month, baby.
Yeah, it's horny month.
I've watched this trailer an embarrassing number of times.
Oh.
If I were to Google Pillion trailer, it'd be like from 2 hours ago. Like, oh, yeah, from when I watched it two hours ago. Sorry. This movie has a chokehold on me. Literally, in the sense that it is the Alexander Skarsgård, Harry Melling, who you might know as Dudley from the Harry Potter series.
Yes.
BDSM rom-com.
I don't know anything about this.
Oh my God.
Picture. What is it called?
Pillion. Pillion, which I had to look up because I was like, what is that? It's the side seat of a motorcycle.
Shut up.
Which is, he's a biker who is a dom. He's a top, and he meets this, I want to say he's a newly outed gay guy because he does seem very like fresh faced, new on the scene, and played by Harry Melling, and introduces him into the BDSM lifestyle. But all the reviews are like surprisingly tender, incredibly romantic, like, what a great script. Wow, this movie surprised me in so many ways.
Wow.
Like, what a tender love story this ends up becoming. And it kind of like, it's giving Secretary vibes. Like, I loved that movie. And it ended up also being a really ultimately sweet love story. And I do think that's what we're in for. But like, I cannot wait for this movie to come out.
Wow. You do so...
And the trailer uses like, I will follow him. And it's like really cute because he's like completely besotted with this guy.
So what does it lean more into romance or into like fetishistic?
I think it's definitely fetish for sure. But I think it marries that, like it treats that world as something that coexists alongside the development of a relationship.
Interesting.
And as the main character is learning about this world through this new relationship, the audience is also learning about it. And so it's sort of like, it seems like it's sort of a didactic experience in addition to being this story.
Did you see Please Baby Please?
No, what's that?
It stars Harry Melling. It came out in 2022. It's actually on Shudder, of all places, even though it's not a horror movie. Sometimes Shudder just grabs an independent movie. How do I describe it? It's a very queer movie.
Yeah.
It takes place in the 50s, kind of, and there's like greasers. And Harry Melling and his wife are young, like, beatniks.
Okay.
And they see a murder happen with these, like, greasers.
Yeah.
But... you have to say it's all super theatrical. It's all very, it's almost, the way that it wears its genre is almost like drag.
Oh, wow.
It has a very, it feels very like David Lynch a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it's, and so, and then he is starts to have a relationship with one of the greasers because he's
queer.
He's queer. And then she starts to have a relationship with, or also a queer relationship with the upstairs matronly lady who's played by Demi Moore.
Oh, wow.
And then Cola Scola is in it as a, like, super over-the-top, like, woman who's, like, it's just super draggy. It's super, it's just really good. And it's got funny shit in it, too, but it's just, Please Baby Please from 2022. It's really good.
I'm gonna check it out.
So is he gay in real life?
I don't know. I think he's at least
not to say you have to be gay if you're in two gay movies.
No.
But he has a very interesting energy in
I've never seen him in Please, anything Baby, but the Harry Potter series.
You would be so shocked to see him in Please Baby Please.
Because
he's also very thin now.
He's super thin. He's got very interesting bone structure.
Well, because he had a fat head.
He had a big fat head.
Yeah, so now That's he's why. Got like
so you see all those bones.
Yeah.
So many of the Harry Potter cast has gone on to do very, very so many interesting things post.
No, that's really true.
Film series,
yeah.
And he's one of them. He was in The Queen's Gambit.
Yes,
he was in this film coming out, and
he's great.
Seems like he's doing like really good work.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see it.
Too bad fucking Joe isn't doing things to make anyone happy.
Oh, no, certainly not. Well, definitely an interesting career turn from her as well.
Yeah, she's like, this is the hill I'll die on.
She's got black mold in her house. That's what she's got.
Yeah, that's
got
to be what it
is. This is brain. Her brain is broke.
Got to take her computer away from her.
Take it away.
All right, so going in chronological order. Mm-hmm. February 27th, Scream 7 comes out.
I knew you were going to have this on the list.
So me and
actually, Bill knew you were going to have this on this. Yeah. Because you went on a date so recently.
Who told you? so if you're a fan of this podcast or if you're brand new, welcome. Me and my brother Anthony have done episodes on every... Well, we did an episode on Scream 1 through 4. And then we did a 5-episode, a 6-episode. And now what we do is when they come out, we watch them, don't say anything, and then go and record the episode right away, reacting to it, which is the only movies we do that to on this podcast. So this is Scream 7. So Scream 1, 2, and 3 is like a trilogy. Scream 4 was like a good 10 years later, and it kind of rebooted it. It was a, but it also, and it's good. I think it's very good, but it also like didn't go.
So they rebooted again.
Yeah,
with 5.
With and Wes Craven had died, and there was new writers and new directors. Radio Silence, who did Ready or Not, directed it. Directed 5 and 6.
Is that the name of the director?
No, it's two directors, and together they're called Radio Silence
as a conglomerate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I love Radio Silence. I love Ready or Not as well. So that was supposed to be a trilogy. And they were kind of aiming towards something, but then Melissa Barrera criticized, defended Palestinians online, which you're not allowed to do, I guess. So she was fired.
Well, she used the word genocide, and they were like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Nope. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
So she was fired, and then...
But then Jenna Ortega said she's not coming back either.
Yeah, which people thought was because of she was defending her, but she was just like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So that, and they were the two sisters that were the core of the thing. Right. The other two main characters from 5 and 6 are in 7, but it's really a different direction. And it's also, it's the first, it's directed by Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream 1.
Yes.
So he has, in the years, produced things and directed things. So that's an interesting.
Did he direct any of them?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
This is the first Scream movie he's directed.
Wow.
And he brought back Nev Campbell because she's been in all of them except the very last one because they didn't give her enough money.
Yeah. I know. Is her daughter involved in this?
Yes. Okay. She has a daughter character.
Did she marry that police guy?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
I think they hinted that she did,
but like they gave him the same name, but it's now a different guy. Re-negging it. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So
she should have.
Will it be good? I think. The trailers have already given up the opening kill, which is in the trailer, they go to Stu's house, the killer from the first one, and it's also that house has been in other movies. And now it's a bed and breakfast themed to it.
Okay.
So they're big fans of the movie within the movie, the Stab series.
Right.
And they're in a house, the house is a bed and breakfast.
Right.
And
it's like an Amityville house.
There's like animatronic ghost face in it.
Shut up.
So like they're like big fans of it. And then I think they get killed in there.
Yeah.
Which is a fun opening. Yeah. And also, so the rumors are, and I don't, spoiler territory. So, you know, fast forward, but this is also speculation. So it's not spoilers. We know that a lot of people that have died in the series are in this movie. There was all this crazy casting news about Matthew Lillard and people.
Yeah.
So what people think about, because there's always like a media criticism in it, people think that this is about AI and that when the killer calls you, he uses voices of former killers.
Okay.
Which is such a good fucking idea.
I like that.
And what a great way to get old cast members in it. So I'm on board.
I hope Dewey comes back.
He's in it. He was cast in it so he's in it in some way. So I'm excited.
I've seen very few Scream movies. I think I've only seen Scream like once or twice.
Oh, so good.
And I loved it. But it's just one of those series that like I know it's good, but I don't watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And my experience of Scream, the series, the entire series, is I've listened to all the Ruins about.
Oh, yeah. They did.
They've done the whole Scream series. Yeah, so I've listened to all of them and I've like followed along the series with
you got it.
So I got
it. And then you were listening to our episodes, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
It is the worst when you guys have an episode together, though, because I'm like, I'm not there with you hanging out.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like just talking to the wall to nobody.
My mom listens to only episodes that me and Anthony are in.
Why did she listen to my episodes?
Quote, "You guys have a cool vibe." That's what my mom said.
Your mom loved me. Why didn't she want to listen to my stuff?
I don't, you know, I think she doesn't care for the hosts. She doesn't care for me. Like, she's like, I'm on every episode, mom.
I'll give her a shout out.
But when Anthony's on, yeah, Scream 7. Could it be awful? Yeah. Almost everything on this list could be awful.
Well, they're never not fun.
That's right. Right, there's always, well, I mean, it's always a whodunit, right?
Tim Robinson was in one.
Yes, he was. He was in the last one. His voice was.
His voice, you don't see him.
You know, so, yeah, I'm excited.
But don't worry, he was playing games on his phone.
Yeah.
He has so many games on his phone.
Yeah, so what's next for you?
Well, next on my list is Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
April 3rd.
Looks great. Beautiful.
It looks so great.
Every frame of painting.
So great. They keep making. Now look.
They've skipped a lot in the narrative.
They did, but who cares? Who cares?
They the post credit screen the post credit scene of the first one
was Yoshi.
Yeah. So we all thought it was going to be Mario World,
right?
But we're going right to Galaxy, which
Go to Galaxy, baby.
The Wii.
But you know, they blended a bunch of stuff in one also. They have Mario Kart in it.
Yes.
You know, they have Donkey Kong.
No, I'm glad that they're not going through the series as adapting the games.
No, let's give the people what they want.
And you got Rosalina in it.
Rosalina.
She's
and
a
I
great
think,
one.
Because you know, they show Princess Peach coming out of the pipe.
Yeah.
And they kind of tease like, oh, maybe she's a human. But I think in fact they're going to, because Rosalina is like a one-to-one copy of her. I feel like
she's bigger.
She's bigger.
People don't get this, but she's like
she's
scaled
physically
up.
Bigger.
No, she's like.
That I've never realized that.
She's like
mind.
9 feet tall.
That's
She's not like a giant,
crazy.
But she's like 9 feet tall. Yeah.
Well, I would love
it. Well, obviously, you've not seen any of the deviant art online.
I haven't seen it.
A very large.
Where they're like, step on my neck, Rosalina.
Yeah.
No, I have not seen that. Did you know Rosalina's 9 feet tall? Oh my God. But you got to go goon now.
No, all I know about is Bowsette.
Bowsette. From what I've seen.
What about Benny Safdie as Bowser Jr.?
Shut up. That's so weird.
The Safdie brothers have, like, first of all, they split up, right? They both made movies this year, not with each other.
Together, yeah.
But then the one that Benny just made had fucking one of the sharks from Shark Tank in it as, like, a real role.
Yes, and he seemed pretty good in it, too.
Which I don't want to like
trailer,
him.
Only from the trailer, but, like, he seemed like
he's
he was doing a good
shit.
Job.
Like, I don't want to like him. And he was also, Benny Safdie was in, he was the bad guy in Happy Gilmore. He was in Obi-Wan.
Remember,
he was like a Padawan that finds him. He's like, Obi-Wan, it's me. And he's like, just shut the fuck up and get out of here.
Oh,
like, I'm not Obi-Wan.
Oh, remember? I didn't realize that was him. Oh my God. That's so weird.
Yeah, he's Bowser Jr.
He's Bowser Jr.
Yeah.
That's strange.
But first of all, Galaxy is a great game.
It's great
beautiful.
Game, yeah.
And all of like the Galaxy stuff in the trailer. Well, I'm hijacking your pick.
No, tell me.
It just looks gorgeous. Like, the flying from one planet to another. And, like, there's a scene in the trailer where there's, like, a shooting star. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It just looks so gorgeous.
And the music for Galaxy is gorgeous. So
yes.
I can't wait for them to incorporate those themes. And I'm sure there'll be, like, little nods to other things in the film. This is something that my kids are really, really, really hyped for.
Yes, when I came in, they were watching the trailer.
They're so excited for this.
Kids like these movies a lot.
They love them. And so I think it's just going to, they give the audience what they want. You know, say what you will about the first movie. I enjoyed it. I know people were like, it could have been better, but I think they did what they needed to do. They made all the money in the world. They gave us a lot of beautiful things to look at.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
And
it had a great soundtrack.
They're probably more free with this new one.
I agree.
To do different things.
To do some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to it. I think, well, my big Peach Rosalina thing was, I feel like she's going to be revealed as like related to Rosalina in some way. And I hope she's got a lot more growing to do now that I know she's 9 feet
tall. She's voiced by Brie Larson.
Oh, cool.
Rosalina. And we see her use her, like,
her star
powers. Luma. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited about it too. Yeah. I'm excited. Cause I'm like, how do you do it? Like, how do you get to this? And it was a big step narratively and aesthetically for the game world too, mm-hmm. to bring in like sci-fi elements.
Yeah. Right. Like we're expanding it. And yeah, we've always had worlds, you know, he's always traveling between worlds, but now we're expanding
like,
that world.
In space, flying around and shit. And you know, had like the Wiimote thing. So it was like
catching the stars.
Stuff. And you're going there, you have like circular levels that like you're going around, mm-hmm. like,
And they do that visual, like they played with that visually in the movie, like that opening sequence where they're going to the plumbing job, they're doing the side scroller animation where they're jumping over bricks and things, in the construction site. So I hope they play with that a little bit.
Is Chris Pratt still in it?
Probably.
That's a shame. But you know, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun. It should be a fun time. I'm excited.
Yeah. So, okay. My next one I've been thinking about all day. Because I initially was like, I'm excited about it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, are you?
Okay.
On May 22nd, the Mandalorian and Grogu movie.
Yeah.
I would be more excited if the last season hadn't happened.
I didn't like
that. If it was just season 1 and 2 and then a movie, I'd be like, I'm so fucking hyped. But the last season was such a letdown. It was so boring.
Agreed.
It so took you in places you didn't want to go.
Right. They're like, what if we had a whole episode about this weird doctor? It's like, I don't give a shit.
Right. I think my excitement is that
because it always ends with a clone of Snoke, and I don't care.
I know. They need to get out of the rehabilitating the sequel trilogy era and just do shit.
Just do some fun stuff. Get Bryce Dallas Howard in there.
Yeah, I know. Give
her a movie, cowards.
Let a female direct a fucking Star Wars,
please.
Movie. I think my excitement is I haven't seen Star Wars on the big screen since The Rise of Skywalker. And it's a Star Wars movie, kind of, right? Because people are like, it feels a lot like the show. But also, you got to say, the show is the most cinematic shit in the world. Like, shows now are so cinematic.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much better you could look.
Was this shot on the volume?
I'm going to guess some, but less, given how much vocal criticism there was about it. And probably they had more money to do some stuff. Mm. So it's like, I'm okay. It's a Star Wars movie.
So much more than just going outside. Yeah.
And I love my boy. I mean, to see Grogu in a theater full of Grogu fans, we're all going to fall back in love immediately.
Babu Frick is there. You know I'm happy about that.
Yeah. So, you know.
Also, but the last two times you've seen it in a theater, Babu Frick was there.
Yes, that's very true. I just hope.
It's the line of the trailer. Nice shot, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hope it is a movie. Like, I hope it functions as a beginning, middle, end movie that even if you hadn't watched a show, you can watch it.
Yeah.
I hope it's not just like, here's more or whatever, or like, or even worse would be like, we're setting up the Thrawn bullshit. Because, you know, I didn't like Ahsoka at all.
I hope Ahsoka doesn't show up.
I did not like Ahsoka at all. I really dislike that series. To me, Ahsoka is the worst series. Followed by...
Oh, you didn't like Acolyte.
Acolyte.
I loved Acolyte.
And I know Obi-Wan people... I think Obi-Wan is probably the third worst. But it had enough charms that I like things about it.
I like Acolyte better than Obi-Wan, but I did rewatch almost all of Obi-Wan because the kids really liked it.
Little Leia is so cute.
She's so cute. But liked it better on second viewing because, as with the prequels, he's the best part.
He's great. Yeah.
He's really good in it.
The writing
isn't
up to...
And I found him compelling enough to overlook. Because now, at least, I was going into it the second time with, like, I know what the weaknesses are. I'm not going to be disappointed by them again. Because it's fine. It's stupid writing. But watching his performance again was enough that I was like, he's good in it. He's very good in it.
Yeah. But Mandalorian and Grogu, I think that this actually has the possibility of being one of the biggest financial failures of any Star Wars movie.
Interesting.
Similar to like Solo, but worse so. I think it might just wet thud. I mean, the trailer's out.
People are excited for the trailer. Like, people are excited. I've seen it in movies.
But not all of us. Not everyone. That's true. It's thinking about it. It's Star. Remember what Star Wars was? Yeah. It doesn't feel like there's a Star Wars.
No,
movie
I agree
out.
With you. It feels like a spinoff thing, yeah. which it is. People, when I've seen the trailer in a movie theater, people are excited by it. Like people, I hear noise. Yeah. You know, people are saying things, but at the same time, I feel like Star Wars fans are in a Star Trek position, which we've never been in before.
Tell me what you mean.
And what I mean by that is, will it survive the translation to the big screen?
Yeah.
And we've never had to deal with that before.
It's
because
true.
It's like Star Wars is the most cinematic thing, right? It's right. like the reason we go to the movies.
But the shows have been
Star
different.
Wars.
They've been
but
more
But the shows
serialized.
Have been very yeah. different. And now this is the first time we're taking a show
yeah.
and putting it on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this going to work? I don't know. Does it feel like a Star Wars yeah. movie? Is it going to feel like a long episode? Yeah, like, I don't know.
And this plot about...
What is
Jeremy
the plot?
Jeremy Allen White playing Jabba the Hutt's son?
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Is that
right.
going to be
good? Oh, he's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now. Is that going to be good at all?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it just a one-off adventure? It's like, will that be satisfying?
I don't think so. You know, if...
Is he going to say his first word? Is Grogu going to say his first word?
Oh, it's going to be Mando.
Daddy.
Daddy Mando. Give him peach voice.
Daddy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't
think
know.
It would have worked if, like you said, it picked up right after Luke picked him up.
And then we were like, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit, we're getting Luke. We're yeah. getting Luke back in the movie. Like, it's going to be a movie.
But then well, all of the
But to what end?
All of that was squandered on
yes.
The Boba Fett show. Not yeah. even the next season of Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yes.
Boba Fett show just halfway through becomes
a Mandalorian show.
Like three episode
yeah.
arc.
Yeah.
That answers, that
oh, that's
reunites
what the
them.
Doctor was, right? Wasn't it on Boba Fett or was it on Mandalorian?
No, I think it was the Doctor who clones him,
yeah.
right? It was on Mandalorian.
Okay. I couldn't keep track.
They're the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think we've said this before. I think they were the same thing. I think Mandalorian was going to be an anthology of different Mandalorians. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, well, we're not getting rid of Grogu. So.
Right.
Call this Boba Fett something.
You did get the sense at the end of the very first episode of The Mandalorian that was going to be the end of that storyline.
Yeah.
Was that he found a baby and it was a baby Yoda and that was that.
Oh, you'd be like every episode be a different Mandalorian?
I thought maybe it would be like, these are the stories of the Mandalorians.
Interesting.
And this one is a bounty right. hunter and this one's doing this. But once baby Yoda fever hit,
yeah.
there was no turning back.
So, yeah, I guess you could say I do.
Cautiously optimistic. Cautiously optimistic.
I do. It's been a slow burn. I do feel like there will be, you know, it comes out in May. I bet in like March, like they'll start like pushing it and I'll probably like I'll get Star Wars pilled again.
Yeah.
As we all do. And we go with our fucking stupid grins like, this is going to be it. And then you're either disappointed or you're not. You know, I do think it's not all diminishing returns. There's been great things and bad things. So you don't know. So we'll see.
We'll see.
What's your next one?
So my next one.
We've had no crossover.
No, which is interesting. Well, no, Mandalorian and Grogu was on my list.
Oh, okay.
But we chit-chatted about it. Yes.
Dave Van Dyke's 100th birthday.
Oh, I thought he turned 100 already.
No, he's gearing up. So the 13th of...
Well, by the time we do this, unless he's died, September. Because we're really good at that.
Oh, fuck. You just
Come
killed
on.
Dick Van
you,
Dyke,
You killed
Bill.
Dick Van Dyke.
You
I hope
son
you're
of a
happy.
Bitch.
I hope
no,
you're
No, if he
happy.
Dies, it's 100% your
yeah,
fault.
Yeah, we killed Olivia Hussey last year. God damn it. Thanks a lot. Dick Van Dyke, I'm so sorry. I hope you had a beautiful birthday.
Yeah.
He
died, of course, tragically in a car accident.
We suspect foul play. Oh my God.
He's still alive.
As of this recording, he's
As
alive.
As of this recording, he is, but we'll see.
Actually, it's 11 o'clock, right? As we're recording.
Yeah.
Actually, no, it's New Year's Eve.
Yay!
Yay!
It's New Year's.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Okay, so this next one is sort of filling a place, even though I am genuinely looking forward to it. And I'll explain what I mean.
Uh-huh.
So April 10th is Ready or Not,
yeah.
Here I Come, which I love for many
Good
reasons.
Title.
They nailed it on the title. As we know, the Now You See Me series
yeah.
royally fucked up because the sequel was not called Now You Don't.
But isn't the new one?
The new one is. It's like the third or fourth movie.
But it's like a legacy sequel to a movie that came out like 3 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. Strange. So, yeah, that sequel should have been called Now You Don't. Now, this one nailed it. Ready or Not, Here I Come. Perfect.
Motherfucker.
Now, this movie is exciting for a number of reasons. Yeah. Not only because the title is perfect, but also because the first movie was really fun.
Awesome.
Loved it.
Awesome movie.
Thought she was great in it.
Love her.
Love her. She was wonderful. And I was telling you, like, I didn't really think it warranted a sequel because it was like a
And this is supposed to be like the next minute.
The next minute.
Which is really brutal when you think about it.
I know. She's had a night. So I can't think of this actress's name. That's why I keep saying she.
Samara Weaving.
Samara Weaving. That's right. Hugo Weaving's niece.
And if you I look see it at in the cheekbones.
You can see it in the face.
No, she's beautiful. She dies in the beginning of Scream 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and The Babysitter. The first one is really good.
The first one is really good, yeah. So Samara Weaving, she's kind of a scream queen. She's in a few things.
Yeah.
She's in a lot of things, but she's in a few she's horror beautiful. Things. She's lovely.
But then it's a two-hander.
Yes. So she survived the night at her husband's house, her brand new husband's house, and there he was the heir to a board game fortune, and the family was able to accumulate their vast wealth through a deal with the devil, basically. And so every time a new member of the family joins, they have to play a game, and if it's like Parcheesi, it's no problem. They just play the game and they go to sleep and it's no big deal. But the game is chosen at random. Yeah. And the rules are they have to play whatever game comes out. And if it's hide and seek, they kill the hider, right? So she's the new bride. And this also has like some folklore to it. Like hide and seek bride.
Yeah.
So in any event, she survives this night where they're all trying to kill her and she makes it out and she's smoking a cigarette in front of the house. And the whole family blows up because the deal with the devil was not sealed. Yeah. It was not fulfilled, I should say. And she wins. Well, cut to, she gets picked up the very next morning in this trailer. And is taken to a hospital, but she's like under arrest. Yeah. And a cabal of billionaires, I guess, led by Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Great. Love to see him. Have kidnapped her and are going. They're like, they didn't fulfill it. So now we got to finish.
Right.
It. So you're going to play a game. And she's like, I have to be a willing participant. I know the rules. I'm not going to do it. But they've kidnapped her sister.
Yes.
Who is played by, is it Catherine? What the heck is her name?
It's Catherine. It is Catherine Newton.
Catherine Newton, who was great in another film that I loved, in Abigail.
Lisa Frankenstein as well.
Oh, she's the star of Lisa Frankenstein also. So she's also a little bit of a scream
and
queen.
Abigail is these guys. It's Radio Silence directed.
Oh, they did that too.
Yeah.
That Abigail, makes sense. Abigail's it has a lot of the too. Same feel of.
We're stuck in a house and we're going to explode. Yes.
And Barrera's in that one too.
Yeah,
right?
She is.
Yeah, she's a star.
So they had done Scream with her.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is all coming together now. So one of the billionaires is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I love what's happening with her right
Absolutely.
Now. She's got the new Buffy show happening.
Well, that's why I'm calling this a place filler.
Okay.
Because what I'm really excited about is the new Buffy reboot.
Mm.
But we have yet to have a date. It is a tentative 2026,
yes.
But I've heard nothing about it. And
yes,
it's supposed
that's
to be
true.
On Hulu, and it's in development, and it's like, it seemed like it was moving along,
yeah, now
and now I haven't heard a thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I've been here before. I hope it comes out this year. I really, really do. But in the meantime, I have Ready or Not, Here I Come, where she is hunting a woman. And she uses a metal stake at one point in the trailer. She is holding a stake in her hand. And I'm like, there she is. There's my girl.
I'm just reminded of this. There is an elderly dying man in this movie played by David Cronenberg.
Yes.
The director.
Yes.
And he acts once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's when you need a guy who's not good at acting. When you need like a weird disaffected man, like that's who you get.
Yeah.
I've liked all of these guys' movies.
Yeah.
And they're called Radio Silence, but their names are Matt Bettinelli Alfin and Tyler Gillette.
Okay.
Together they are Radio Silence.
Okay.
All their movies have been good.
Yeah.
I loved Abigail. Did you see Abigail?
I loved Abigail. Yeah.
Abigail was
I really
awesome.
Liked it. So I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, I'm excited.
They make
for that
fun
too.
Movies. And I love to see her. I love the cast. I think the cast is great. So it should be a good one. And as you know, it'll satisfy my thirst for a Buffy reboot in the meantime.
I feel you.
To see her doing action again.
So my next one is the one I'm most excited about. June 5th, Masters of the Universe.
Okay.
Produced by Amazon, but a theatrically released film. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm...
Who's in it? I don't know a thing about this.
Okay. Oh, there's an interesting cast.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I always forget the name of the... Oh, I got to tell you the story. Okay. I always forget the name of the main character. By the way, did you see Bottoms?
No.
The kid who plays He-Man was in Bottoms, but he has black hair and he wasn't like jacked out of his mind at that point. Why am I not seeing? Okay, so the He-Man is played by Nicholas Galitzine. How do I say it? Galitzine.
Okay, I've heard of this person.
On a He-Man group.
Galitzine.
Yeah. I'm in many He-Man groups on Facebook.
Oh, he's cute.
Yeah. He's kind of young. He's done a few things. He's 30. But he's pretty like unknown, which I think is the right way to do it.
He looks younger than 30.
Yeah. On one of the He-Man groups, I said something. I made a comment about I can't wait for the trailer, and he liked it. He-Man liked my comment.
Oh, my God.
So he's the only unknown. Everyone else is a great cast. What was it? Marina Baccarin from
I know who that is.
Deadpool. Yeah, sure. She's the sorceress.
Oh, okay.
Man at Arms is Idris Elba.
Love that.
Allison Brie is Evelyn.
Okay, sure.
Here Comes a Problem. Jared Leto is Skeletor.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I did know this.
Yeah.
Because you said you were going to kill yourself.
Kristen Wiig is Roboto, who was a male robot character. But Kristen Wiig? All right, I'm down.
Sure, I guess.
James Purefoy is King Randor. Camila Mendes, who I forget what she's from.
She's from Riverdale.
Yes, she is Teela.
Cute.
And I don't know what the cameo is, but recently Dolph Lundgren said he has a he highly implied that he has a cameo in it. I'm hoping he plays
Lubeck.
No. Oh God, please. I'm hoping he plays like the spirit of King Grayskull, like the original king.
That's cool.
Because he's not the dad, but it would be cool if he was something like that.
Haven't people learned though that Jared Leto's box office poison?
I mean, he ruined the Joker.
He ruined the Joker.
Like, he's the guy you call to ruin classic villains.
Like, anybody could have been the Hatbox Ghost. He didn't. Ugh. Anyone could have been.
Well, okay, speaking of, so it's a similar thing. Because people have, word from previews of the movie have said that he looks like he does in the cartoon, and it's mostly CG. It's mostly a voice performance.
Is it finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in the movie, he starts on Earth, which a lot of people don't like. It's like, that's what fucked up the last movie. Like, he's not on Earth. But they're saying he just starts on Earth. They're making it kind of more like Flash Gordon. Like, he starts on Earth and then he goes, but he learns that that's where he's really from.
He starts on Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. He has a synthesizer.
But the thing, the thing that everyone's saying that was the right choice is, like, extreme fidelity to the designs of the toys and cartoons.
I like that.
Like, everything looks right. Like, his sword looks like his sword. All the costumes like the costumes. And that's exciting. Cringer looks like Cringer. Like, they're really doing it.
Okay. You know, who is writing? Anybody good?
It's written by a fellow named Chris Butler.
Oh.
Who did Paranorman, a movie I love.
That's a great movie.
We just covered it this Halloween.
I like that movie.
Missing Link. I haven't seen that.
That's another animated movie.
Cubo and
movie.
The Two Strings. A lot of animation.
Weird. Huh.
And then he worked in the animation department of Corpse Bride and lots of things. So mostly animation. And it's directed by Travis Knight, who did Kubo and the Two Strings, produced Paranorman.
Animators.
Directed Bumblebee. He also directed Kubo and the Two Strings. So they're mostly animation people.
That's
but that
weird.
Says something good to
that's
me.
That's like Lord and Miller, though. They did a lot of animation.
That's true, yeah.
Before. Yeah.
So I'd say that...
Huh.
This is my most anticipated film, but I've also not seen a trailer yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like 85% excited, 15% cautious. I need to see a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
because the trailer might completely put a wet blanket on this enthusiasm and be like, no. People were a little worried. Well, first of all, it's greenlit because of the success of Barbie. So people were a little worried that it might be an attempt at doing it like Barbie, like a parody of itself.
Where it's meta.
And too funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hopefully that's not it.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, we'll know.
All right.
I'll know more soon. Stay tuned.
The boys were asking about He-Man recently, weren't they?
Yeah.
What prompted it? We have like nothing He-Man, really.
The trailer for Masters.
Oh.
The Dolph Lundgren piece? Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, they would love it because Lubeck is...
it's so good. Oh,
from Back to the Future.
Strickland. Dean Strickland. Strickland. Exact same character.
It's the same character.
But
doing the job he was meant to do, not be working in a school.
Yeah, not around children.
No.
A horrible cop.
He's meant to be a horrible cop. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. A cop with a sword-off shotgun. What's your next one? You're up to your fourth?
I'm up to, I think I was my last one. Oh, but I can throw in some bullshit. I'll throw in a couple of interesting
ones. Yeah, I got a bunch of bullshit.
So I loved the Hunger Games series, the books. I really loved them. I thought they were like really well paced, very fun reads, very compelling. And I thought that the films were better than they needed to be to sell tickets because anyone like the books were so popular that they would have made money no matter what. But they ended up getting like Jennifer Lawrence, who had just come off of an Oscar win.
Yeah.
And like she was killing it. Like she really, you know, she put her whole foot in it. And made it a pretty good trilogy, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely had its weak spots, but for what it was, I thought they did a solid job. And then I stopped caring about it.
Right. There was another.
Yeah.
We're firmly in Fantastic Beasts, The Hobbit territory.
Absolutely. We are 100. You're 100%
more
right.
More shit.
This is the post-series right, they, series.
There was just that one, which I saw the movie with it's like about a young Snow.
Yes.
And what's Songbirds her name? Snow White, snakes. Is it? Yeah.
Snow White. Yeah. Rachel Zegler. Yeah. So she. So
and that was fine.
I didn't watch it. I didn't read
it. It was
book.
Fine.
I was like, I don't care to be in this universe anymore. I read the story. I liked the characters.
Yeah.
I didn't really like this world. It's the opposite of Star Wars in the sense that like I don't want to see more dystopia. I'm okay.
Yeah.
So wasn't really super interested. However, so they have this. That's a prequel book, Songbirds and Snakes. Yeah. And then they have another prequel book, which is about Haymitch, who's
which
like
just
her mentor.
Came out. It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. It was called Sunrise on the Reaping. Yeah. And that is what this new film is. And I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, really? Well, this is interesting. I might actually want to see this movie. Whereas with Songbirds and Snakes, I was like, I don't care.
Right.
But this looked good. Good enough that I kind of perked up a little and I was like, should I read this book? Like, this looks good.
Yeah.
I might need to check this out. And Bill was also a Hunger Games fan. Like, he read the books as well. So I'm like, read this.
Jen was a huge Hunger Games fan, and she couldn't get through this book.
This one.
She was excited to get it, and she's kind of like, I don't know if I care that much about Haymitch. So
fair enough.
So
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to check it out. I'm willing to watch it, maybe go back and visit the book if I feel
if
like
the film's
movie good, is
good maybe.
Enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who plays young him?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it's whose character?
It's
Philip
Woody
Seymour Hoffman?
It's Woody Harrelson.
Oh, Willie
Harrison's
character.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently
I
Jennifer
hope
Lawrence.
It should just be Woody Harrelson with no de-aging at all. Just like,
like,
I'm a teenager
I'm
14 now.
Years old. Yeah. So apparently, Josh Hutcherson, is that PETA? And Jennifer Lawrence are coming back for the film. They are making a cameo at some point.
But have you ever read Trapped in an Island with Josh Hutcherson?
No.
It's the fan.
Oh, Haymitch is played by Joseph Zada. I don't know who that is. Who is that? I don't know.
Joseph Zada.
Zada?
Who the fuck are you?
Who are you, sir?
Tell me your secret. He's been in
I don't know, Bilched? Did you ever see Bilched?
I've seen nothing that this gentleman has
done. I don't
know
what this is. Okay, well, good for you. Good for you.
He's a young upstart.
Oh, a young Effie Trinket's in it. Wonderful.
Mm.
We love to see it.
Love to see it.
Maya Hawke. Oh, wow. Do you remember Wire-S, Bill? Wire-S? I think she was with BT.
Yes.
Not BTK. Maya Hawke is playing a young Wire-S. Elle Fanning's playing a young Effie Trinket. Jess Really? Jesse Plemons is playing a young Plutarch Heavensby, which is the Philip Seymour Hoffman character.
That makes sense. They have similar faces.
They do. So, they could be related. McKenna Grace is playing Maisalie Donner. I feel like I remember Maisalie from things.
She's also in Scream 7.
Oh, really?
So is Celeste O'Connor. So
who's Celeste O'Connor?
She's also a Ghostbuster. She was Lucky. So there are two Ghostbusters in Scream 7.
Whitney Peak is somebody in this, and she's from the new Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah, 2. Yeah, yeah.
Ralph Fiennes is President Snow. So he's like the interim Snow, right? So we got young Snow.
Yeah.
And we got this Snow. And then the Isn't old Snow weird? Is Donald Sutherland.
He was Voldemort. Oh,
Kieran Culkin is a young Caesar Flickerman, which I actually think is amazing casting because he's older. He's played by Stanley Tucci. So that makes sense. I actually really like that.
I wonder if any of these people were also in the last spin-off.
Iris Apatow, Billy Porter. Yeah, it's got a good cast. Oh, Lily Taylor's in it. Love that. Okay, that's fun. It's got a good cast. We'll see.
What was the last one called?
Songbirds and Snakes. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
I wonder if there's any of the same people.
For the cast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if they just kept anyone. Because I guess it's all in the same timeline. Peter Dinklage is not returning, as far as I know. Jason Schwartzman was in it. That's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, this movie did not have as big of a cast as this new one has. Mm. So I'm wondering if it means that people were more willing to sign on for this one. I don't know. Guess we'll find out.
I thought I remember this. Ralph Fiennes is in Songbirds and Snakes.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh,
so he's coming back.
Okay.
Oh, and Elle Fanning was alongside. Oh, no. Those are new people. So I think it's just Ralph Fiennes.
Okay.
Okay. So my last one is one where the trailer came out just recently. Supergirl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks great.
I'm excited because I love Superman and I like what James Gunn is doing.
Will he not be in it?
Superman?
Yeah.
I think he maybe a little bit.
And did James Gunn do this also?
He just produced it. He's Kevin Feige of DC.
Okay.
Now, everyone's saying, and I agree with this, that the trailer looks way too Guardians.
Yes.
But I read the comic it's based on, which is a really interesting comic where it's all in space. It's all space fantasy. She's not on Earth at all.
Okay.
And it's a lone wolf and cub story. Mm-hmm. She helps a little girl on this other planet. Mm-hmm. So the story is pre-written based on a comic. And he's just a producer. He's not the writer of the screenplay or the director of the movie. So even though the trailer, I felt, hit similar things. I liked it, but I wasn't like super excited by it. I do think the film, I do have faith in the film. And I think she looks really good as Supergirl. Mm. I liked her in her cameo in Superman.
Oh, okay.
And I like that Crypto is the thing. He's the breakout star of Superman.
He really is. So, this last year was a big year for dogs.
Yeah.
Good boy, Crypto.
Yeah. So it's interesting that he is the connective tissue. He's like the star of both of them in a way.
She's letting that dog piss all over her house.
Yeah, her spaceship.
Horrible.
But she's traumatized because she lived through, remember, she was a teenager and Clark and Kal-El was a baby. Mm-hmm. But because she was trapped in a time thing, when by the time she got to Earth, he was a full grown adult and she's a teenager. Yeah. And so she remembers everything. So she's dealing with PTSD.
Right. There's that line, did it go away in a day? She's like, I wish it went away in a day.
Yeah.
Like,
the gods aren't that
longer.
The gods aren't that kind.
Yeah.
So. And I also like the line at the end of the trailer when someone says, what is Superman like? And she says, he sees the hope in everybody and I see the truth.
Mm.
So I'm like, all right.
A little jaded.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. And that's coming out
June 26th.
Oh, June. Okay. Oh, it's going to be a good summer flick.
Yeah. So then I've got a bunch of other shit.
All right. Should I give you one more shit or should I give you my big one?
Give me your big one.
My big one is October 9th.
Mm-hmm.
The Legend of Aang, The Last Airbender.
Yeah. An animated film. By the real guys. They weren't pushed out like the fucking Netflix show.
No.
They weren't not involved at all like the first movie.
Yeah.
This is them.
And there's also a new second season of that horrible Netflix show.
But there's also a new series.
That's
the next generation. It's after Cora. But I think
we should be in modern times at that point.
I think they're in a dystopian world now.
Okay.
Because something happened after Cora that fucked everything up.
Oh, boy. Right, because we were getting a lot of Avatar.
See, I didn't know this was coming out at all. When I was looking at movies coming out the year, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. That looks awesome.
I can't wait for it. Yeah. I'm truly, like, there are some perfect series, and I've talked about this, like, I think there's perfect series in the world, and I think it's a perfect series.
No, of course, yeah.
And I'm so excited to be going back to that world. I don't think, not that it was unsatisfying, I do think it was very interesting, even though I haven't watched the entire series of Korra, I do think it's very interesting what they do with
it's
Aang.
Good. It's not as good at all.
No, but people love it.
It was brave enough to be different.
Yeah. And they explore what it is to be the Avatar as an adult. And they explore like what it is to be the child of an Avatar.
Right.
And how damaging that can be.
Right.
And that Aang's kids have issues as a result of him being the Avatar. So I think that's very, very interesting. But now we're getting, so we got sort of the end of his life in that story. We got the beginning of his life in the first story. And now we're sort of getting the middle period, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Korra is also cool because it's a little bit of like what you see in Mandalorian of like, the good guys won. Like, now what? Like Toph is an old cop. Mm-hmm. Like, and Toph's daughter is also a cop. Like, where did they go? What did they do? I'm excited about this.
I'm very, very excited.
I think it lives in the world of animation and should stay in the world of animation.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Mirror Galaxy. March 6th, The Bride comes out, which is directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
And it is a adaptation of The Bride of Frankenstein. I do know
this. They were shooting this at Snug Harbor.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the Frankenstein made by Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, it's Christian Bale.
It's in the 20s, in the roaring 20s.
It's a Bonnie and Clyde story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. It's The Bride cool. exclamation mark. The Bride.
Yeah. The trailer is very weird.
Yeah. I'm down for that.
But, you know, I'll see it for sure.
And coming up very soon is a new Star Trek series, Starfleet Academy, which is an idea that is as old as Gene Roddenberry wanted to make it the first spinoff of Star Trek.
Wow.
People in the Starfleet Academy.
Okay.
But this is interesting because it's the furthest in the timeline they've ever gone. So it's the most in the future. So it's kind of narratively all new continuity. It's far, far in the future. Mm. So I'm interested in it. Interested in it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like when they take something and it's like, this was their first idea, but we never did it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. The first idea was like, how about Kirk and Spock is teenagers? Like, no one wants that. This is just young hot kids.
Great.
And what's her name? What's her name? How could I forget her? She's so wonderful. What's her name? Starfleet Academy. Holly Hunter.
Oh, I love
like
her.
The president of the academy, whatever.
Okay. You know she's not going to take any nonsense.
She don't take nonsense. Yeah, it's the we're in the far future. I still got a southern accent. Stephen Colbert is in it.
Stephen Colbert?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Interesting people. Paul Giamatti. Tig Notaro, who's playing a character that she also played in Discovery.
Okay.
Robert Picardo, who was the doctor on, I think, Voyager, is now the doctor, but I think he's like a hologram of the character he played.
Okay.
So there's old people, there's young people, there's new things. It's all right. You know, it's Star Trek.
That's fun.
But it's also Star Trek modern Star Trek is owned by Paramount, which is owned by Skydance, I believe, who's like very Christian.
Weird.
So that's the weird thing that's been going on as we record this of who's going to buy Warner Brothers, Netflix, or Paramount. Paramount, you know that they would keep the movie aspect of it important in theatrical releases, but also Paramount is like Christians running it.
Yeah.
But Netflix is also like,
there's
big step towards movie theaters dying, I think.
There's a link between Paramount and the Trump administration, right? Isn't it? Is it Jared Kushner has a
I think it's through the Christian aspect.
Okay. Yeah, there's something.
Both are not great because, first of all, oligopolies are not good. And this is why you write you know, antitrust. Antitrust legislation. This is exactly what we don't want. If Netflix, it looks like Netflix is the one who's going to get it. You know, they've already said they are going to want smaller theatrical windows. So the theater, so theatrical experience is going to be a trailer for what happens on the series. And, you know, look, I know eventually theatrical exhibition will not die. I don't think anything ever dies. Like records don't die, but I feel like it'll become a not Paramount, pun not intended, part of the media landscape. It'll be specialized, which is kind of already is doing. But, you know, Netflix buying a Warner Brothers, like one of the, like, it's just like, what happened to the world? Like,
what happened to the world?
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers was
owned by Netflix. Huge. If you would send that just 10 years ago, you'd be like, that's nuts.
What? Yeah, that's crazy. It's that's like crazy. That DVD thing.
Yeah.
That we send in the mail.
Well, not that long. 10 years ago, I think it was like, ago, we were like season two of Stranger Things.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Now they're older than me.
Yeah, no, they've aged past me, which is crazy. No, but I mean, I've had it since it was the DVD thing.
Yes, I remember it, and I was, and I loved it.
And people were like, what is that?
Yeah.
I know my mom was like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
You send it
back?
Just go to Blockbuster.
Yeah. Oy, Vault. So, but you know, in general, this is going to be another good year in media.
I think so. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go on a date to see one of these.
You should.
I hope I do.
Well, I hope you meet a fella.
I hope I meet a fella out there.
You know, you might want to get on like Grindr.
That's Grindr. That's the one for moms, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't even know what these things are.
I don't know. What? Bill and
Tinder's
I have been
the
together.
Gay one, right?
No, Grindr's the gay
Grindr's
one.
Grindr's the gay one.
Yeah.
Tinder.
I don't think people use Tinder anymore. I don't
but
know.
But what is what's some?
I completely missed dating
There's another
apps.
One.
Thank God.
There's another one that people say a lot. I don't know. You know, I'm in love. I don't need
Cupid? That's old.
No,
eHarmony?
That's old.
That's for old people as well. I'm old. I could be on there.
Friendster? www.youtube.com.
That's it.
Wow, this has been a long episode.
MySpace.
Let's put this episode to bed and start this year off right.
Let's start it off right. Let's give ourselves more sleep.
Let's talk about what PCMC is going to do this year.
What are we going to do?
We don't know yet. We're going to do a Scream episode for sure.
We'll probably do
a He-Man episode.
Are we getting 100th one this year or no?
I don't think so.
Next year.
Because we just had
the, so we go, we, yeah, we got to have another year.
Yeah.
We got two more years.
We're going to have Halloween, as we always do.
As we always do.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much for listening. Well, let's go to the future together. The human adventure is just beginning.
I like that, yeah.
We end every episode, and we begin every year by saying...
We say goodbye at the beginning of every year.
Yeah. When a clock strikes midnight, we turn around.
We turn around and look at 2025, and we say, go bye-bye.